Well, guys, our main verse that we are going through talking about the church that Jesus died for, the church that Jesus built, the church that Jesus powered and commissioned to go into the world and to preach the gospel and to baptize and to do all of these things. And so the verse that we're starting with is our key verse is in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and to the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The one verse I want to kind of key on today is that very first verse. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And the prayers. In fact, I underline that, I think. Yeah, and the prayers. It says they devoted themselves. And we talked about devoting themselves to this fellowship, coming together that first week. And so this week I want to talk about how important prayer is, because Jesus thought it was important. In fact, if we go to the book of Matthew, in the book of Matthew, in chapter 21, Jesus goes ballistic. He goes into the temple. He's flipping over tables. He's chasing out the money changers with a whip. And this is what he says. He goes, he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you made it a den of robbers." My house, my church, my body will be called a house of prayer. And I think that's one of the least disciplines that we do as a corporate body here in the church. Jesus highlights prayer for the community of people. And again, that first week we talked about fellowship and coming together and how we're supposed to meet and not give up meeting like a lot of people do. But we are to come together and fellowship. And when you're missing, then we're missing something inside of us and inside of our family. And so today he's talking about not just studying God's word and not just attending, but Jesus talks about prayer. And if you look at the life of Jesus and his example, he was a praying man. When he began his ministry in Mark chapter 1, it says this, "And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus." When we get up in the morning, you see what it says, what Jesus did in rising very early in the morning while it's still dark? Everybody else is still asleep, maybe getting the coffee ready, maybe getting the kids ready, doing whatever. Jesus departed and went to a desolate place, a prayer closet, or a place away from any distractions of the world. And there he prayed. A lot of times the first thing we do when we get out of bed is after we've hit the snooze several times, we check our email, see what's going on in the day. No. The first thing, just stop while it's quiet and spend some time with Jesus in conversation. Without the distractions, we're able to listen to his voice. When choosing his disciples, this is what it says in Luke chapter 6. "In these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God." All night. Not just throwing up those quick prayers, you know, when we're driving. "Oh, don't let that guy cut me off, Lord, Lord. Lord, don't let that light turn red, red, red." Oh, you know. But spending all night, spending time, quality time in prayer to God. Calming a storm, praying to God and having control over creation, driving out demons when the disciples couldn't do it. And they said, "Hey, what did we do wrong?" He says, "No, sometimes it takes, only comes out through prayer." In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed so hard there were drops of blood that came down his brow. And from the cross, he wasn't yelling about the people that had put him up there. He was praying to God, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Calming a storm, driving out demons, healing the sick from the cross. Jesus demonstrates his whole life that prayer is important. So why don't we find it important? For many of his followers today, why aren't we praying more? Why aren't we flocking here on Tuesday nights for corporate prayer time? Why aren't we spending more time at home with our families praying? And I think it's because we've really forgotten the power of prayer. We offer prayers up when we find ourselves in a difficult situation. And sometimes we don't even pray for ourselves. We'll say like, hey, Carol put me on the prayer list. Hey, just pray for me. I need your prayers. Well, are you praying? We should bring it before the body and we should be praying together. We should be anointing with oil. We should be doing all the things that Jesus demonstrated for us. And there are some things that I want us to understand. First off, prayer is powerful because of what God does for us. It's so important for what God is doing for us. In James, and when we went through the book of James, chapter 5, is anyone among you suffering, he says, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them, what? Pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. A couple verses later in chapter 5. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Hey, I need to tell you this and I need your help. And we pray for one another. We confess our sins that we may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And then he gives us this example. Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours, and he prayed fervently that it would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it didn't rain on the earth. Then he prayed again and heaven gave rain and the earth bore its fruit. And we think like, well, we're not Elijah. Well, it says he was a man just like us. No different. He just prayed. James is saying prayer is powerful. And he's saying, you know, Elijah, not in this case, is a mighty prophet, but he is a mighty prayer. The power is not in the prayer or in the words itself. The power is in God and how he responds. Prayer is not this rabbit's foot that we rub. Have you ever thought that you get to talk to God Almighty, the creator of the universe, and to act on your behalf? You ever thought about what a privilege that is? Think about the song, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. The creator and maker of the universe, the one who created us in his image, we have the opportunity to be in his very presence and to offer him our prayers. We have experts in the world, people that we know, people that we trust. I'm supposed to see one this week, but I get to cancel. I don't like the reason why I have to cancel, but I have a dentist appointment coming up this next week. And I love David Murphy. He is probably one of the best dentists I've ever met, and he's great, but he's still a dentist, you know? And he likes to drill on your teeth, and no matter how much you brush or floss, it's never enough, you know? I love Dr. Ghosh. He's my primary care doctor. And whenever I go in, we always talk about, we talk about all kinds of stuff. We talk about Atlanta United. We talk about Tony. Tony sees him. We talk about Barbara. Barbara sees him. We talk about Margie. Margie sees him. You know, we don't really talk about that. There are HIPAA laws against that. But we carry on conversation. But he's an expert in what he does. And I trust him in his judgment. God is an expert in prayer. And so when we pray to him, he's our expert. Not what Google says, not what Facebook says, not what Pinterest is doing. None of that stuff are experts. Our expert is God himself. And we forget how great he is. All the omnis, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He's all of these things. And so we can feel peace at that. But prayer is not only powerful because of what God does for us, but what God does in us. Often we use prayer to ask God to work in our world, and sometimes we don't realize that God is already working in our world and doing so, working in us. One of the things that Margie and I like to share when we meet with couples And they say, you know, I'm having trouble with my spouse. You know, we're not communicating. And basically what they're saying is, how can I change him or how can I change her? And mine and Margie's response is always the same. Start praying and you'll see that God ends up changing you. And then through that, you're going to find out your relationship is stronger. He may change him or her, but he's definitely going to change you. In our world, we often ask God for this help. He's omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, and we're just omni-egoist. You know, we're going to take it on ourselves. God, here's the thing. If you could, you know, let me get a new house or a new car or fix my husband or our wife or do these things for me, I'm going to love you, but I'm going to keep doing what I do. And so it becomes about us, and we're the omni instead of God. In 1 Peter, he writes, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he can exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because, why? He cares for you. I mean, it's a horizontal and a vertical kind of thing that's happening. We grow in humility towards one another. That's the horizontal, but we also grow spiritually, and that's the vertical, the connection towards God. You want God to start working in you? Then start praying. Prayer is powerful. It reframes our perspective of things. What we can, what we can't accomplish. It's an open admission to our limitations. Father, I've reached the end. I don't know what else to do. I don't know how to move. And God is saying, good, because I can take it from there. As long as you were in the way, there was a distraction. And during our prayers, we find a dependence on God, and we find out that we really can't move without him. Unfortunately, we often use our prayers as rubber stamping our will and not God's will. I mean, we just want God to check off our plans because we know best, right? We run and run, and often God says, just wait. And I know waiting is frustrating. You know, God, here is someone to move. God, use me now. God, prepare us now. God, you know, answer all our prayers now. God, give us our church now. And God answers three ways, and we've heard this before. He could say yes and answer our prayers. He could say no and not answer your prayers. And remember Garth Brooks' song, I thank God for unanswered prayer. But also, he could just say wait. I've heard it said that God is never early. But God is never late. He is always right on time. And so we need to grow in dependency on God, less ego and more spirit. Isaiah says, those who wait on him will renew their spirits. And we need to live out that perseverance, hope, faith, and humility. And then the third thing, prayer is powerful because God gets all the credit. God gets all the credit. Jesus says in John, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So God is going to answer so that he will be glorified. It brings glory to our Father, our Heavenly Father, the one who created us. He also says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. It's through our prayers and God answers and he shows that God is great and God is good and we show that God is holy and that God is righteous and that he is just and that he is merciful. Does he answer all of our prayers the way we want? No. Because his ways are better than our ways. He sees things that we can't possibly see or understands things that we don't even have a clue. We had a family when we first planted the church. The husband went for a checkup and had come to find out he was eaten up with cancer. And so the church came together and we began to pray for this man. In fact, Alicia made an afghan, and we anointed it with oil and gave a prayer blanket to him, and we went and visited him and laid hands on him, and we prayed and prayed. right before the surgery, well, actually during the surgery, they opened him up to remove the tumor, and there was no cancer. No cancer anywhere in his body. God answered that prayer big. This week, I lost my father-in-law. We prayed. We've been praying. He's been on our list. So God, heal him. He's a great, godly man. God answered the prayer, but not the way we want it. But God gets the glory because now he's no more pain and he's in the presence of the Father who loves him so much. It's through our prayers and God's answers that we see that God is great. So with all of that being said, how do we get started? You have to have an honest relationship with God through Christ. You get that? It has to be a relationship with God. You don't just come to church and you come to Sunday school or you open up your Bible or you just say the Lord's Prayer with us each week and then you go home and go on about your life. It has to be a relationship with God. Jesus Christ has to be that central hub in your life. It's a relationship, and that's what he's talking about, the church. It's a relationship. It's not just a bunch of people that gather that have some things in common, maybe doesn't have anything in common. We just kind of get together and wave to each other. Hey, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Hey, I hope to see you next week. It's not that at all. It's a relationship that we have with one another. This is what God says in John chapter 9. There's a blind man that's been healed, and everybody's upset about it because he was healed on the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees, they bring, the religious leaders bring the mom and dad in and say, who did this? And they're like, they don't want to talk because, man, they're going to be in trouble. So they said, well, you know what? He's an adult. You ask him. And so they ask him, and he says, well, you know, I don't know who he is. All I know is I was blind, but now I can see. And they start to argue among themselves and talk about all these other things. And they're saying, you know, only maybe the devil did this. Maybe all of this kind of crazy stuff. And this is what the blind man said to the religious leaders in verse 31. He says, we know that God does not listen to sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. I mean, you're sitting there saying it could be this, it could be this, could be this, but God doesn't listen to that. What God listens to are righteous people. Anybody that worships him, that's who has his ear. And I'm absolutely and completely convinced that churches across our world today are filled with people who know a lot about religion. They know a lot of the Greek and Hebrew words, and they know all of these things, but they don't have a relationship with him. You know, and I'm just as convinced there are a lot of people that look the part, act the part, maybe, but their heart's not connected to the God of the universe. You need to know him. You want him to reveal himself to you? Then open up your heart to him and pray. God wants you to know him. God wants to hear from you, and God wants to speak to you, and you have a relationship with him through his Son. I tell you all of this about prayer because every Tuesday night we meet for prayer and we usually meet in the library back there. There's maybe anywhere from two of us to eight of us. And we meet around the table and we pray for everybody. We pray for everybody that's on our prayer list. We pray for people that have given us prayer requests. We pray for family. We pray for churches. We pray for businesses. We pray for all kinds of things. But the last Tuesday of every month, we're going to kind of shake it up a little bit. We're going to have a prayer and healing service. And guess what, guys? This Tuesday night is a prayer and healing service. It's an opportunity for us to come into God. Well, not this week. It's next week. I don't know. What week is this? I've lost my mind. Tuesday. Tuesday, we're going to come and we're going to gather in here. If it's two of us, if it's eight of us, or if it's 100 of us, we're going to come in here. And if you need to be anointed with oil, you just come on up. We'll anoint you with oil. We'll lay hands on you and pray for you. You go back to your seat. You don't have to pray out loud. You can pray quietly. You can just kind of join us silently in your heart as we all pray together. We'll sing some worship songs. We'll read some scripture, but we will have a service. And I hope that you could put that on your calendar and say, you know what, I want to be a part of this movement of God, that this is a house of prayer. And so I want to invite you to be a part and join us. Father, we are so blown away that you, as God of the universe, hear our prayers, that we truly matter to you. And Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our church, for the spiritual momentum that only you can bring about. The way that you are transforming our lives, drawing us closer to you. Father, I praise you for the supernatural work of your Spirit. And Father, I confess that I've tried so hard for so many years, and now you're doing more than I could ever imagine. So Father, continue to soften our hearts. Continue to draw us close to you. I pray, Father, you would turn up the spiritual heat in our lives, our desire to know you through your word and through the power of your Spirit. And Father, as we get to know you better, Father, strengthen our prayer life. Change our values. Change our hearts to reflect you. And Father, I pray over and over again that your Holy Spirit would remind us to pray, pray, pray. Convict us to pray, 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 to be different. Draw us close that we could enter into this lifestyle of prayer. And Father, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.